Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m., and we do thank you for taking the time out of your evening to be a part of this ministry. Amen. This evening, we'd like to inform you, for those of you who would like to call in on Zoom, and I'm still working on that. My wife is the one that handles all of that. But if you'd like to call in on Zoom, it's 505-563-6808. That's 505-563-6808. And then you would type in capital PSALM23. Amen. 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 Because of the snare. And I hope I haven't done the same thing that I did last time for those of you that are coming on and off if I didn't have it on mute. I know those on Zoom can hear me, and I think I made a mistake the last time where I was, I had my device was on mute, so those who came on the blog radio could not hear me simply because I had it on mute. So please charge it to my mind and not my heart. Please, ma'am, please, sir, please. We are in, we are on Proverbs. I'm repeating myself. We are Proverbs 22. So therefore, at this point, we're at 25:5. Amen. 25:5. If you take out your Bible, 25:5. Amen. And I will go over that again simply because I just realized of my error. Amen. Thorns and snares in the way. Amen. But he that keepeth his soul shall be far from it. So what I was saying was that the wicked, you know, the problems that they have or the thorns and snares that are in their path, they get caught up in it. They get caught up simply because they're not following or obedient to the word of God. But a wise person is not going to make those decisions and get caught up in the thorns or the snares. They're not going to get caught up there. They're not going to because they're aware that if they do this, there's a consequence. And those consequences, they do not want to go through. Amen. So therefore, they go through life, they're cautious, and they avoid the path of the wicked. We move on to 25:6. 25:6.
Train up a child in the way he should go. He shall, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Miles. Thank you. Amen. Train up a child. And we've heard this numerous times, and this is the best verse in terms of I would consider in Proverbs on child training. This verse is talking about child rearing. Child rearing, amen? And child rearing is talking about how we are to discipline our children. Now, see, when we look at the word Hebrew, the word in Hebrew is hanak, and that means train. And training means that you are dedicating, you're dedicating that temple, you're dedicating that child, that temple to the Lord. Amen. You're dedicating it to the Lord. You're dedicating that temple to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. You are saying, I'm giving back my child because of how I am going to train up my child. Amen. It's a dedication. You're creating an altar in your household and how you are training up your child. And when we look at Chronicles, it talks about, in Chronicles 7, it talks about the walls of Jerusalem, within the walls of Jerusalem and how they respond in Jerusalem with their training. Amen? So this everything is narrowing down to a child's conduct, training up a child's conduct that they know how to veer or get away from evil, and they are to follow godliness. Amen? They are to follow God. That's what you do. That's what we're doing. Training up a child so that they will veer, they will move away from evil, and they will move toward godliness. And starting within that is having their conduct, their conduct focused on being obedient to the word of God. Amen? Being obedient to the word of God. Narrowing a child's conduct away from evil toward goodness starts in the right direction. Now, there is an author that is Gleason He talks about that what training up a child, what it means is that we're giving that child back to God. We're setting that child up to something for a divine service, a divine service. And he suggests that we dedicate the child to get God by preparing the child for his or her future responsibilities, training them for their future responsibilities. Amen. You train them as a child, but you are preparing them for their future responsibilities. He also goes on and saying it's almost like an exercise that you're going through, that you're putting them through. You're exercising them. Amen. Training the child for adulthood. That is what it was saying. And when it goes on, it says training up a child in the way that he should go, it is talking about the path that the child is going to take. Amen? Scholars have interpreted it in different ways. It doesn't mean that it's going to end up that way. It doesn't mean that when you train up your child in the way that he or she should go, it doesn't mean that they're going to follow that. So please understand, it doesn't mean that. All it's just saying is you are training their personality, the demands of their personality, their conduct, and how they are to respond in life. Amen. Proverbs doesn't mean that their personality, that they're training up their personality, and they're going to be what you want them to be. Amen. What all it's saying is it's training them up the path that they will go, and that path will be wise, godly living. Amen? And when that child is old, or when it has grown up to their adulthood, that they'll know a way. They'll know the way. Some parents have sought to follow the directives of this scripture, but without the results that they expected. Amen? Their children have strayed away from godly training that the parents gave them. So please understand that it can go up, a child can get up, you can train them the way that they can go, and they can end up straying away from godly training. Amen? Many of the Proverbs, they're saying that it's not an absolute guarantee, but it's saying that it's a truth. There's a truth in it, that if you train them up, that this is what is should happen. It does not express a promise. Understand that. It does not express a promise. What it's saying is that when you train that child up in a Christian home under the influence of godly parents, and when that the way that you're teaching them, the godly standards that they are to follow this training. They are to follow this training. Amen? That's training up a child in the way they would go, setting them on the path of life for righteousness, righteous living, righteous obedience, living for God. And on the other hand, they can stray away. You can teach the child, and they can end up straying away. Amen. 22:7. Amen.
The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the living.
Amen. A rich person is saying here that a rich person may lord over a person who is poor, and a lender will be their master. So all it's saying is don't get caught up in borrowing money that you can't pay back, or you will become a slave. Amen. You will become a slave. You will become poor. And you will become an oppressed person. So it's saying do not get caught up in borrowing monies or anything that you cannot pay back. Amen? Or you would become just like a slave to the lender. Amen? You're working and all your work is basically for the lender. And eventually you become poor simply because all your money is going to the lender. Amen? You're not putting money towards other things that you may do because it's not there. You don't have it. So what it's saying here is that watch how you Watch how you borrow. Amen. Watch how you borrow, because that lender can become, you become a slave to the lender. Amen. And it leads you into a poor lifestyle, and you become an oppressed person. Amen. Also, it talks about, it's saying that here, where it talks about a person who, you read 28, right? 22:8?
God, is next. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. That's verse 8. Excellent verse 9.
Amen. A person who sows seeds of wickedness. You ever heard that saying that you reap what you sow? You will reap a harvest of trouble. Trouble and sorrow are what you will reap. And it says that trouble is an inevitable part of sin. Trouble is an inevitable part of sin. And when it talks about in terms of there, what happens is fury or outrage begins to start to flow. Amen. When a wicked person can't achieve something, that they begin to start to show fury. They begin to show rage because they cannot achieve that. They can't get what they want. And what it's saying here is that the wrath will not last. There are manipulative techniques that has been exhausted. And that's why they fall into the situations they fall in. Amen. And the trouble of the wicked brings others. The trouble of the wicked bring on others, and it will come upon them as well. So it's, in other words, just saying those who are manipulative, those who are wicked, stay away from them. Stay away from them. Okay. Or otherwise, you're going to get caught up in the same thing. Amen. Next verse.
He that has a bountiful eye.
Read what scripture it is so that they would know. They know what it is.
Proverbs 22, verse 9. He that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor.
Here is talking about being a generous man, of being a generous person. Amen. And it's saying here that a stingy man, someone who a willingness to share food with the poor, the feeble, the weak, the helpless, they are considered a genuine person. But a person, someone who looks at others with the desire to help them and not take advantage, not looking at someone who is helpless, weak, feeble, or helpless, and looking to take advantage of that person. Amen. And that's what it's saying, being a generous man or woman. Amen. And here it talks about in terms of that is a good eye. A good eye means, you know, that you can see a person, and because you know that they're in need, you're choosing to help them. Amen. 22:10.
Cast out the scorner, and a contentious shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall
see. Here we're talking about a mocker. And a mocker is someone who is causes strife. Amen. Someone who is constantly contentious. They're constantly quarreling. They're constantly insulting people. They're constantly disgracing others. And it's saying here that you need to remove, as I said before, removing yourself from the mocker. Those, if you know people like that, remove yourself from them, amen, because otherwise you're going to find trouble yourself, amen. Move yourself away from those who are considered mockers, troublemakers, amen. 22:11.
He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend.
Amen. Here we're talking about a pure heart. And it's saying that gracious words, and when you speak gracious words, good words, amen, you can stand before anybody. And it's saying even though that a person is king, a king, and they could be they could have everything that they need because of your pure heart and your gracious words. They're appreciated by them. Amen. All people want to be around people who are considered gracious. Amen. Being around a gracious person can be advantageous because they are a person who gives a friendship, a person who knows how to be around other leaders in high positions and still be gracious. They don't have to pretend. They can be who they are. And because of who they are, they're gracious, and they know how to always speak good of others and use kind words, and that's someone who is considered genuine. Amen. Next.
Verse 12 of Proverbs 22. The eye of the Lord preserves knowledge, and he overthrows the word of the transgressors.
Amen. Here we're talking about omniscience. The eyes of the Lord. God sees everything, and and it sounds like, I don't know how to host my wife. She's at a meeting. She is at a meeting, and I do not know how to, I am trying to mute her. The eyes of the Lord. God sees everything. God knows everything. And what it's saying here that God guards knowledge. Amen. He guards knowledge. And on the other hand, those who are unfaithful will be overturned. Amen. To be wise is to be under God's protection. And that's all it means there. To be wise, someone who is obedient to the Lord is considered to be wise. They are able to escape the snares of life, you know, the traps within life because of their wisdom. And God protects those who are wise. Amen. You're under their protection. You're under God's protection because of your wisdom. To be wise is to be under God's protection, and to be unwise and treacherous is one who will be or who will fall on the path that will end in frustration in their life. Amen. 13.
Verse 13. The slothful man said, "There is a line without it. I shall be slain in the streets."
Okay, this is just considered what's considered a lazy person. A lazy person that avoids work. Amen. They're considered a sluggard. Okay, they don't want to go out to work. Okay? And it says, if a lazy person actually feared being murdered or feared going out working, then they would never, ever go outside. So a person that doesn't like the work will never go out and try to get work. They may desire it, but they will never, ever attempt to go out and try to get work. Amen. They will not do that.
Verse 14, the mouth of the strained woman is a deep pit. He that is born of the Lord shall fall therein.
Listen to the words of an adulteress. Amen. Is to be seductively led into sin by that person. It's like falling into a pit. Okay? When you are seductively led into sin, it's like falling into a pit. Amen. And there is no escape. The consequences of adultery are part of God's punishment and his wrath on sin. Amen. So it's saying, watch the words of those who are seductive, the women who are seductive, or even the otherwise men who are seductive. It's like falling into a pit. You need to watch the words that are used and make sure that that they are genuine and they are aligned, a man or a woman of God. Amen. Or otherwise, you will be caught into those snares of adultery. You would be caught into the snares of falling into words that are tinkling to the ear that sound good, and you find yourself caught up in a wrath of sin. 22:15.
Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from
him. Amen. Foolishness, or in the Bible they use folly. Folly and foolishness are one and the same, in the heart of a child. And it states here, it says, can help expel, or it can help their attitude, and if they're able to replace it with wisdom. If that person can discipline, can help change a person or change that child's attitude, amen, so that they begin to start to become wise in the sight of the Lord. That's when the child goes out, they know that they're not supposed to do it, so they don't do it. They know that their friends are going to do this, so they don't do it, because they know the consequences of it. And they don't want to be caught up in the consequences, so therefore they become wise and move away from those things that are unwise. Amen. 22:16.
He that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to rich shall surely come to want.
I think we talked about this once before in terms of buying influence. Buying influence with your money, or favoritism, you know, giving people gifts, you know, giving people gifts, favoritism with gifts, or those that do, that is saying that for those that do not need them, or what you consider the rich, they don't need that. They don't need that. They're doing it to oppress the poor. They're doing it to oppress the person who are feeble, weak, or helpless. They're doing it for that reason. And it's a matter of control. Amen. Some do it to gain more wealth. They do it to gain more wealth. It becomes almost like a boomerang. Amen. And that person will not become wealthy, but they end up in poverty. They end up in poverty. Amen. They end up in poverty. And as I said earlier, there are two sections to this, 22:16. And when we go into 22:17, if you notice that the scripture and the way it's written, these are saying by wise men, but it's stating that they believe that it weren't these scriptures, also, as we go forward, are not written by Solomon. They were borrowed from Egyptians. Amen. You can look it up for yourself and do your own research. You know, for that, they were not written by Solomon. They were compiled by wise men who borrowed them from the Egyptians. Amen. And if you notice, the lines are a little different than what was written prior, than was earlier. If you look at the scriptures. Amen. Okay.
Proverbs 22:17. Bow down thy ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thy heart unto my knowledge.
Amen. If you look at this, bow down that ear means just, you know, just listen, hear the words, when words of the wise. Amen. You ever have people who are wise and try to give you wise counsel, and that person or those people do not want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They don't listen. But it's saying here that bow down that ear, listen. Listen to the words of the wise and apply them to your heart. Amen? And when you apply them to your heart, then eventually you become more knowledgeable in how to navigate in life, how to live a righteous life, by listening to the words of the wise. Amen. 18.
For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withdraw and be
saying here that if you keep your it's a pleasant thing if you'll keep them within you. In other words, the wisdom of the Lord and how you conduct your words to others and how you use your words to others, amen, that it will be fitted within being wisdom, being wise, how you talk to another person. You know, with wisdom, you know, using wisdom, amen. And it's saying here that it's a pleasant thing, that if you want to have a pleasant life, watch how you use your words, amen. because when you use your words and they are pleasant to the ear, that your life is more fulfilling and things tend to become more pleasant in your life because of how you communicate to others. Amen. Next.
Verse 19 of Proverbs 22. If our trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee.
Trusting in the Lord. Amen. God has made it known through his word of God. Amen. And through the word of God, it's saying, trust the word of God. Trust the word of God. Amen. It's already known. The word is already known. If you want to know how to live a productive life, if you want to know how to live a righteous life, if you want to know how to live a good life, then go to the Bible. All right. Go to the Bible, and the Bible will give you anything that you need in terms of how to live your life. He's already made it known. He's already made it known, and it's up to you and I whether we choose to go and find that information, find the truth, amen, of how we're supposed to live our life. If you want to live a good life, go to the Word of God. Amen.
Verses 20 and 21 were together for you. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge that I might make thee know the search for words of truth, that thou mightest answer the word of truth to them that said unto thee?
Haven't I written these things to you? Don't you know that the word is counsel to the soul? Don't you know that the Bible is counsel, and through that counsel of reading and studying the Word and how to live our life, we become more knowledgeable in life. And what it's saying here is that the words of truth has already been written. They've already been written. Amen? They've already been written. The words are truth. And if you want to know the truth, go to the Bible. Go to the Bible, and it will give you the truth. Amen. God has already provided that for us. Pretty much it's saying the same thing over and over. If you notice how these scriptures are written, normally 17 through 21 are written together. They're really all together, and that's why I was saying here that they were not written by Solomon, they were borrowed from Egyptians. 17 through up to now are really, really compiled together. Amen? And if you go back and look at Proverbs, it's written totally different. Totally different. Okay? It's four words or four lines or less. Amen. Next.
Verse 22, 23. Rob not the poor because he is poor. Neither oppress the afflicted in the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause, and spoil the soul of those that spoil them.
We talked about that in terms of how we respond to the poor. Amen. Don't try to take advantage of the poor. Don't try to take advantage of those who are helpless. Don't try to take advantage of those who have less than you. Amen. Or, and it says, please do not oppress the afflicted. Amen. Because it's saying that I will plead their case. God is on their side. God loves everyone, and he's on their side. So when you are going against the poor, those who are less fortunate, you are going against God. And God is saying here, I'm pleading their case. Amen? I'm pleading their case. And saying here that I'm not going to spoil their soul, amen, because you try to spoil their soul. I'm not going to spoil their soul. I am going to lift them up. I am going to give them what they need. Amen. Spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. He's going to spoil the soul of those who try to afflict those who are less fortunate than that person. Amen. Next.
25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare
Amen. Make no friendship with anyone who is violent, an angry man. Make no friends with someone who becomes easily angered, a furious man. Okay? Then think, you know, that they plan on going somewhere and you want to hang out with them or you want to be around them, hear the word it's saying, stay away from them. Amen? Stay away from them. And if you learn their ways and get a snare to their soul, you might be someone that might be able to help them. You might be able someone that understand their ways. Amen? And you may be just trying to help them so that they don't get caught in the snares, you know, of life. If they don't get caught in you're trying to save their soul and so that they can live a righteous life. Amen. Next.
26 and 27. Be not thou one of them that strike hand, or of them that are secured of debt. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should thou take from thy bed?
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Miles. Be thou one of them that strike hands with them. In other words, do not take away from someone who has less. Do not take away from someone who has no way of providing. Amen. You're taking the bed from under them. And the word here is saying do not do that. Amen. And it goes on 25, it says, move not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. The mark is already, if you read the Bible in the older days, those who were needless, who were helpless, and those who were needy, others helped them. They helped them. They provided them. They gave them what they need to help them survive. Amen. It says, remove not the ancient landmark from thy fathers, that said. Don't get away from helping others when they're in need, giving to those who are in need. If someone needs, some water, give them water. If they need food, give them food. You know, don't take away their bed from under them. Don't put them in a situation where they have nothing and you have the availability to be able to help them. And then it goes on to 29, seest thou man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. And he shall stand before kings. Because of your attitude of being able to help others, amen, you're a man who considered diligent in your business. And because you're diligent, because of who you are and how you communicate and handle other people, that you will be able to stand even before kings because of a pure heart and your kindness. Amen? Amen. So I believe we are at the end of, that was the last, the end, and I'm looking at the time to see how much time we have left. We have like about 6 minutes left. And I'm going to open the mic. So are there any questions? I've lost Pastor Miles on Zoom for some reason. So you may not hear his voice. Pastor Miles, when you go back and listen to this message, we thank you for reading the scripture for us. Amen. Are there any questions in reference to anything that you've heard that you would like to share? The mic's open. Does anyone like to comment on anything that you've heard this evening? Amen. As I always comment, you know, that when no one has anything to say, that means that you were sitting down and you were fed and the food was good. Amen. So oftentimes when people are eating food and it's good, they don't talk or they don't have anything to say. But we do thank you for being a part of this hour. Thanks for joining. Next week, what are we, week two, we have Minister Haman who will be coming on and speaking, and she will be coming from Proverbs 23 from next. Minister Haman is from out of Long Island, New York, and she will be coming next week. The following week, we have Pastor Miles on for the third week. He's our third week who is speaking on a regular basis. Our fourth week is, we don't know who that's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be in Chicago. We're looking at inviting Chicago back again. But there are always going to be a variety of different speakers that are coming on to share the word of God. Amen. so we get a perspective of not only just from this end, but from all ends. Amen. May God bless you. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Amen.